The latest world sport from the BBC with me, Chris Mitchell, coming up for you. Nadal is out of the tennis tour finals, but Federer hooks the fish and remains unbeaten. Could a fundamental change in football make these moments a thing of the past?
That's a long-distance effort that is going to be caught. Oh, what a mistake by Carroll! What a mistake by Carroll! Carroll took it on his chest, and it quite clearly bounced into the back of the net.
That was a goal.
And it has not been given.
More on goal line technology for you in just a moment, but first to the ATP Tennis Tour Finals, where Rafa Nadal and Joe Wilfried Tsonga were involved in a do-or-die match at London's O2 Arena. The prize for winning, a place in the last four. The BBC's tennis correspondent has the report, that's Jonathan Overend. First though, David Law with the closing commentary at one set all.
First of the match points, he returns down the centre. Nadal hits his big forehand, just inside the line it goes. Has another one to hit, only just clears the net. Huge forehand by Tsonga, thinks about coming in, changes his mind. Massive forehand winner, Tsonga! What a way to finish it! He's beaten Rafael Nadal. Nadal beaten, Tsonga into the semi-finals. And that was one heck of a performance from the Frenchman.
Tsonga unleashed massive shots all night and broke through Nadal's defences thanks to the sheer relentlessness of the attack. But more than that, his skill at the net was something to behold in front of another capacity O2 crowd. One rally saw him play two backhand overheads with a stop volley in between. Fantastic stuff. He struggled to close it out, double faulting three times when serving for the match, but with the pressure taken off, he broke Nadal to love in the subsequent game. The Spaniard improved on his two previous showings here, but still didn't have enough to win. Yet with the Davis Cup final ahead for him, he should be applauded for making it so close. Earlier, Roger Federer topped Group B by beating Marty Fish for a perfect 3-out-of-3 record from the round-robin phase, but this was also a tight one, Federer claiming a deciding set after the American had played superbly in the second.
So, Roger Federer beating Marty Fish earlier in the day in three sets. He's now the only unbeaten player in the tournament and has emerged as the only unbeaten player in the tournament and has emerged as the favourite to win the title. His main rivals, Djokovic and Nadal, have both looked tired this week, and Andy Murray, of course, pulled out because of injury. So perhaps it's no wonder that Federer is reluctant to criticise the busy schedule and says Murray's suggestion of a player strike isn't realistic.
It's not been an option, really, in my opinion. Next year's season is going to be shortened by 2 weeks. That's, I think, as much as we can squeeze it, really, because otherwise a lot of tournaments would have to go, or we would have four tournaments the same week, which I don't think is a very smart idea, to be honest, for the game. But yeah, it was brought up a few months ago, the whole boycott thing, and it's nonsense, and it's not going to happen anytime soon if things are good right now. So I don't see a reason why we should just boycott. There's absolutely no reason for it.
Let's move on to football. Goal line technology could be used as early as next season in the English Premier League. That's according to the English Football Association. Nine systems are currently being tested by FIFA, with a final decision expected to be made in July 2012. But the English FA believe that if one or more of those systems work, then the laws governing the game are likely to change. But their General Secretary, Alex Horn, says other leagues may not be as quick to adopt new technology as the Premier League.
It's possible we could see it in the Premier League as early as 12-13. Now, right across the game is another question in terms of then how far people want to invest in the technology. These things, you know, will come with a cost, both in terms of the physical kit that's got to go in and then manning the equipment afterwards. So I won't speak for the Football League in terms of what they're thinking of doing. You know, I would expect the Premier League to adopt the technology.
The Liverpool manager Kenny Dalglish says he's in favour of adopting the technology, and the Bolton boss Owen Coyle agrees.
We have the best game in the world, bar none, but if I was asked the one thing I would, if I could help to improve the game, my suggestion would be goal line technology. I think it's so, particularly now at the level where we're at. We've seen in the World Cup with England against Germany. Now, if that goal goes in, that game could have had a whole different outcome, and then who knows what happens from there. So the implications, I think, in goal line technology, I believe, are vast, because ultimately goals change games, and, you know, they're huge pivotal points in match. So that's the one thing I'd be a big advocate of, that if we could change anything, it'd be to add goal line technology.
But introducing technology to football is a subject that polarises opinion within the game. The former England international Stuart Pearce, who's now an assistant to Fabio Capello in the national team, says he's against adopting it.
I've been brought up over the years that
You know, the referee and lines people make decisions. You accept that and move on. I personally, no, I'm not a fan of it. I know I'd probably go against many others that are. I accepted a decision at a World Cup. I was part of that when Frank's shot went over the line by a ridiculous amount and come out. But you accept it because you know somewhere down the line a decision will go in your favour, and then you probably won't open your mouth and not mention goal line technology.
Chelsea's worst start to a season since Roman Abramovich bought the club hit a new low on Wednesday night when they crashed to another defeat against Bayer Leverkusen in the Champions League. The result leaves the Blues struggling to qualify for the knockout stages and puts more pressure on their young manager Andre Villas-Boas. The Portuguese says it's his task to inspire and motivate his players, but will he be given time to do that? A question we put to the former Chelsea and Scotland winger Pat Nevin.
If you take it on past experience, the answer is no. He won't wait. He won't give time because he hasn't given any manager time. You just have to look back to Ancelotti, who won the double and the next season came in second in the league and was sacked. But it's just a shame. I mean, there is no right and wrong in this. There are a number of ways to run a football club. You can try and build a dynasty the way Sir Alex Ferguson has, the way Arsene Wenger has tried to do, the way they're trying to do it at Barcelona at the moment. Or you could try and go down the route which Real Madrid often do, which is change managers very frequently indeed. At the moment, and for the last number of years, Chelsea haven't done it in the UK. And my feeling is, and it's always been my feeling, that eventually that was going to come back to haunt Chelsea. And I suspect this is the time it's come back to haunt them. But whether they're brave enough to see it out and allow Andre Villas-Boas to rebuild and redevelop, well, that's very much open to question.
Chelsea, meanwhile, have appointed a London developer to look at the possibility of building a new 60,000-seater stadium at Battersea Power Station on the south bank of the River Thames in London. One other line of football, BBC Sport has learned that advisers to Carlos Tevez, the Manchester City player, have opened transfer talks with the Serie A side, AC Milan. Inter Milan and Juventus are also said to be interested. Sachin Tendulkar is edging towards a famous cricketing milestone as India piled on the runs on the third day of the third test against West Indies in Mumbai. The hosts closed on 281 for 3 in reply to West Indies 590 all out, with Tendulkar unbeaten on 67, in with a real possibility of becoming the first man to record 100 international centuries. Watching the day's play for the BBC was Prakash Wakankar, who says there's huge expectation in India.
You can bet every single penny on that. 33 runs separate him from that milestone, and you can be sure that all of India, and one hopes a few additional thousand in the stadium, will be counting and ticking off every run. Lakshman, along with him, have come together at the fall of Dravid's wicket and have taken India to a solid position of 281 for 3. And really, it's a question of how many more runs can they get. But for the first half of the day, the focus will entirely be on Tendulkar. Will he be able to do it, or will it be another case of so close and yet so far?
The former West Indies captain, Chris Gayle, says he's hoping to develop Zimbabwe cricket when he plays in their domestic 2020 competition at the end of the month.
We as international players, you know, we can play a part by help, you know, the younger players coming up in Zimbabwe to do well. And it's good all round, and like I said, hopefully things work out. And you have the World Cup coming up next year, so it's a perfect opportunity for them as well. I remember the last T20 World Cup, they have beaten big teams before, like Australia. So it's a team that play good one-day cricket. You know, you can't take away that fact. You know, it's got to be interesting to see how well we cope with it.
And just before we go, to remind you that Rafael Nadal has been knocked out of the ATP